It's the Face of Community and Business podcast, introducing you to the stories behind the faces, focused on fixing today's problems with thoughtful leadership and purposeful living. Sit down with us as we get to know the individuals who make our community second to none.
How you guys doing? I'm Tony Arce. Welcome to the Face of Community and Business podcast. Today, I'm joined by Ward Powell, founder and wealth strategist at the Ward Powell Group. Ward, thank you for being here again, brother.
I'm so happy to be here.
It has been nothing short of amazing getting to know you. What a great guy. And yeah, just to call you a friend is truly an honor and a blessing. And having you been a part of this community now for a couple months and just seeing this other side of you, right? That like there's a celebrity under there waiting to have it.
Oh, no.
For sure. But we've already discussed some of those things that you do on the previous podcast. But as far as just what a wealth strategist is, because I think it's something that seems so far-fetched for a lot of people that they alienate themselves. But as you've pointed out many a times, that it really doesn't take much but just some certain disciplines and information to have wealth, right? But how do you work with people? Tell us what you do and, all that it goes into being a wealth strategist.
I start off by finding money that people are losing unknowingly and unnecessarily. And they want to do something about it, just like I did. Because I wanted to basically find a way to do this that's going to allow me to help others. And so I left the teaching industry, the education industry, to get into the financial services industry. And quite naturally, it just fed into me understanding, what about these dollars that I'm losing and I really don't know that I'm losing? When we put money in certain places, there's a chance that we're not doing any good for those dollars that we place, wherever we placed them. For example, when we put money in a savings account. Now, it's okay to have a little money there, because we do have to live. But when you start talking about hundreds of thousands of dollars in a savings account, then that's not a good idea to park. That's not a good place to park your money.
Sure.
Just put that way. And then, but yet we feel safe there. I don't know if people remember 08, but a lot of us do, I'm sure. It wasn't nice. You had your money parked in banks that closed on, you know?
And we started to see a little bit too here. Not like we're in the safe zone here.
Exactly.
Right.
So everybody parks their money somewhere, and then you just have to have someone like myself that happens to know where you would go to park it. And before we do anything, one of the major things we do is that we don't tell you what to do. We ask you what you want to do. Then we see what you're doing. We show you what you're doing. And then we make sure what you're doing is going to get you what you want. If you're going to put it somewhere, you should know where you want to put it, where you want it to go. And if you don't, then we help you with that.
And for you, it's not like you came up in a wealthy family and you had humble beginnings, right?
Absolutely.
Originally from Mississippi,
moved
up here to Chicago, right?
But yes.
What are some of those things that, I guess, that you saw growing up that inspired you to be this way and to want to help others? Because that's a big part of who you are. And as much as you have this professional side of you, I think really at the core what that is your desire to want to help your fellow man.
Yeah, I can remember as a little boy, I wanted to be a patrol officer. I wanted to be someone that helped old ladies across the street. And I literally did that right in front of my house. Some time back when I was maybe 5 or 6 years old, I made myself a patrol belt.
Wow.
And I would help little old ladies across the street, you know? And they were so like, okay. They allowed me to be myself back then. That's my name. That's who I am. That's what Ward means, the protector.
And when you're talking about growing up, too, it was that you were raised in a way that you said something that I thought was really interesting, but that you were developed in the family, and those things that you developed and you carried out in the streets. But that this sense of never give up, never say uncle. Mm-hmm. You have this toughness that comes within, but on the other side, there's this gentleness. There's this sweetness to this young boy doing this. How did you tell me about that contrast that you had to where you're here? You're not someone that you mess with, not someone that's going to give up, but you still have this other side of you, right? That makes you who you are.
I love positive mental attitude. I love people. I'm a people type person. I love life. I love the experiences one gets to actually get involved with through their life. I don't take or try not to take things too seriously. Trying to find, if you will, a middle zone or a happy zone in everything I do. And even if it's something as tragic as losing someone, the body's gone, but that energy is still around. That spirit is still around. So those wonderful people that have come and left here, I still have that spirit with me. And I know that despite their physical existence, everywhere I go, everything I do, they're watching. So that kind of keeps me, you know, grounded as well. Just knowing that there's work to be done. There's always work to be done. And I want to make sure that the work I do while I'm here is passed on.
And that's a big part of it, too. You had talked about with your mom, right? You were very close to her.
Yeah.
And having to deal with her loss, right?
Yes.
How was that something that when you look at the situation you were in, you know, and obviously this is something that we all have to deal with at some point, but what advice would you give to people, given that you have this mantra of not giving up, when you're faced with difficult situations like that, how do you keep going? How do you find that strength? What's something you would tell those that are going through a similar situation?
It's temporary. Know that whether it's a good thing or something that's challenging, it's temporary. Whatever it is, you got to be ready to level up to wherever you have to go next. Next. Literally. Next. Because there is something next. We don't know what it is exactly. Forge forward. Pay it forward.
And that's what you're trying to do with her, right? So the idea of setting up a foundation, where is that? Tell me a little bit about her and just what inspired this particular.
I grew older and she did. We talked more. We just talked more. And there were things that I didn't even know about her, that she loved biology. And she started associating the biology to her farming experiences. And she got an opportunity. I got an opportunity to listen to her tell me all the different cows that existed and all of the different chickens. I was like, man, I just thought a chicken was a chicken and a cow was a cow. And what kind of soil are you working with and all the different types of nutrients that should be in the soil? That was an education for me. And she said, if she hadn't had all of these children, she'd have been some kind of doctor in somebody's biological lab or something. I don't know. That's what she really, I was stunned to hear that after having children of my own. And she's telling me this at this time, and I didn't hear that as a child. So that was interesting.
And so now the foundation that you want to develop.
Yeah, I want to go into putting a foundation in her name and for children at my alma mater, Wendell Phillips, here in Chicago on 39th Street. I would like to do a foundation that would allow children who want to go into the sciences, any of the sciences, make sure that we have a scholarship to help those children along the way.
And I think it's just a beautiful thing that you are able to turn those things into something positive, right? Like you're mm-hmm. saying, and find the opportunity to do. And you know, I think it goes back to those things that you uncover about people that you don't know about them, right? And you're like, these are the things I didn't know about. I'm learning these as we go along, and I'm learning about you too, that you have all these different passions, and mm-hmm. one of them is music. And to learn, I think that was very cool to have learned that part about you, that passion. When did that begin? And tell me about some of the cool things that you've done with in the music business.
As a child, most of the people in my community, we go through church. Boy, I couldn't play basketball if I didn't go to church. And basketball was the thing that for me when I was a child. So I had to go to church. Mom wouldn't let me go. Nobody would let me go. And Dad was an evangelist. Boy. So I was raised to do that. And while at the church, I was one of the lead singers of the church. A little guy, little bitty guy. I was little, small. I started growing when I graduated from high school.
Oh, wow.
Yes. I was like 5'6", 5'4", 5'3", something. Small,
wow.
Short. I was short. But I managed to play basketball for the school, and that kind of got me, like, I don't know. You have to be a fighter when you're a little guy. The fight in me was always there, just like it is now. Whatever it is that I'm going to do, you're going to get a fight. you're going to know that you were in a fight in the end. And I'm not looking for it. You know, I don't want to fight. That's the last thing I want to do. But in your head, you have to be prepared for that. If it comes, you have to know that you got to give all that you have to get to reach whatever site you want to reach. And that's why I said you have this idea. I always had this idea of never giving up, because what's the alternative? I don't know. I don't even want to consider that.
No, it's not even an option. Not at all. And so when that way to respond to adversity, though, when you do have that and not to let people rattle you, that what do you coach people on when that happens? Because people today, I feel, are so easily shaken by those things. Right?
You can't control them. You got to let them do them. And you have to basically respond in the right way, because it can cost you both good and bad if you make a terrible decision, whether it's from your mouth or something physical. I mean, it's anybody can throw something at someone, right? But it takes a real person to think about how they're going to respond. It takes someone that's mature, a mature person, to respond in the right way. Or don't respond at all. Just be quiet. If you're not ready to respond, be quiet. You don't have to come up with something right away. And then that's another thing about me that I learned over time, is that I cannot generally respond when people want me to respond. And that's okay. It's okay not to respond immediately. I have to think about the things that I'm going to say to people or do to someone, if that's the case. It's different when you have something actually coming at you.
You have to make that.
When you're forced to make a decision in that respect, then okay, that's different. But if you don't have to, and you feel that this is a very important decision that you have to make, take your time. Be patient. That's the way you have to approach investing.
And it's easy to talk about the patience, right? When you have it, yeah. When it's there. And it seems like for you, it's something that you really developed, right?
Mm-hmm.
That through these experiences, not only having gone through trials, but you also put yourself through your own types of trials, right? Tell me about, first of all, the fasting, 40 days, 40 nights. You're already vegan as it is, right? But then also the Vipassana and all. So these very difficult things that you're putting yourself through of depriving yourself of food, of talking, communication. Tell me about these experiences, why you chose to do them and what you learned from them.
I can never forget the experience I had just listening to someone explain their experience to Vipassana. And when I think of learning, doesn't matter what the age, it could be a baby can teach you. This is a young guy, he was about 18, 19 years old. Very just wonderful, blonde-haired, blue-eyed guy. I met him at a salon, right? And he just got to talking to me about his experience with Vipassana. I was like, so what is it all about? Vipassana, for those who don't understand, never heard of it, never experienced it, is a meditation practice that you deal with by way of, you learn how to meditate. They teach you how to meditate at centers. They are all over the world. You practice meditation for 10, 12 hours, 8 to 12 hours a day. They put you up, they feed you for those 10 days. You don't speak to anyone. You don't make eye contact. The lady's on one side, the guy's on another, and you're silent that whole time until the 10th day. And that 10th day, you get an opportunity to try to talk, but by that time, you're not really, you're listening. you don't feel right talking, right?
Interesting.
You got to get yourself into it. So that was an experience, and just sitting there for all that time where you're having these pains from sitting on your backside all day, right? That's part of the pain, as the teacher would say, the misery that you want to get rid of.
Mm.
That's just misery. Not torture yourself, but sit as long as you possibly can. And you'd be surprised what the body and mind can do.
What was the biggest lesson you took away from that experience?
There are no walls that you can't go through. If you want to, you put your mind to it, you can go through a wall. Like, there's nothing that you can't accomplish if you want it bad enough. That's why whatever it is that you want to do, you got to prepare yourself, of course. But never stop. Never stop preparing yourself and never stop going at whatever it is that you want to do.
Man. Now, how was this in relation to the 40 days and 40 nights that you did fasting? Was that a totally separate time? Was it around the same time?
Yeah, it was a separate time.
Okay.
When I decided to go 40 days and 40 nights, I wanted to cleanse.
Did you start off with that? Like, I'm going to do this?
I started off saying, I'm going to do 20, 21.
Mm-hmm.
And then I said, let's take it to 30. So I said, nah, let's see where this is going. So I just kept going. And the only reason I stopped at 40 is because I knew I had to go out of town, and I had no idea how to continue doing what I was doing, and I wasn't in my space physically.
Yeah.
My physical space. And came off the fast. And that's the only reason I came off, because I didn't feel like I had to come off. But you look at me and you say, oh, boy, you're not doing too well.
It was interesting. I saw the picture. I saw the video. You definitely were thin. You're already thin.
You're already thin as a
man. Oh, man, I was.
Imagine.
Yeah. And same thing. Person. You know, what was the lesson learned? Because as much as it is you do a cleanse, right, I feel that's probably, I don't want to say the least, because it's a significant change that you go through and the healing and all that. But mentally, what did you take away from that experience?
I was so spiritually in tune with myself, my body, the thoughts, my feelings, right? I was in a serene space. Very attentive. Listen well and talk less. That was great. You're in your head the whole time. But those experiences were like, you're in your own head. You're in your own mind. And I think no one should leave this planet without having those types of experiences. Because you find there's nothing. I mean, you're probably there already. I don't know. Everybody have their own reality. But there's nothing that you cannot do when you have those types of experiences. I mean, it puts another etch in your mind that says, wow, this is great. This is wonderful. I want to do it again. You know what I mean?
How long ago was it that you did it?
2017.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Yeah, 2017. And I started the Vipassana about 2011, and I would do those. I did about 6 of those. And
then, you did?
Yeah. Oh. And then I did a 7th one that was like an advanced class. I did that up in Seattle.
So you spent over two months of your life in silence.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pure.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was great.
How do you manage for those things? I think about it just, wow, how does someone take 10 days off to go do something like this, right? How do you prepare for that? How do you plan for it?
You just do it.
Yeah.
You life, make time.
Life does go
you
on.
Find time. Life's going to. And there's so many things that went on when I came back. Each time I come back, it was something really changed. I don't know. People were gone that I really enjoyed. And then it was just a different kind of feeling. Totally.
It's a different type of cleansing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. For sure. I need one now, though. I would love to find time to do another 10-day at some point in the near future. I'd like to do one this year, but you know, I don't know. I don't think I'll be able to.
Mm.
But you got to make yourself find time to do that.
And as people are evolving, and I think so many people are coming to these types of experiences as being something that's going to help them, and they're looking for that healing, they're looking for that peace, right? They're looking for something different. But it's difficult to make huge changes right away, right?
And, yes.
And I guess from that, what advice would you give to those who are seeking those types of radical changes, but starting small, whether it be small habits or what path should someone go on in order to find those changes?
See, you said it. Starting small, doing the little things. I started off as a vegetarian before I became a vegan, right? And then, but the small things. When I wanted to go into veganism, I let everything go except chicken and fish. And then I let the chicken and fish go. Pork and beef was gone first, right? And then cheese and butter were next. After the chicken and fish. And so when I got rid of the cheese and butter, then I'm vegan.
And how long ago was it you went cold vegan?
About 22 years ago.
Wow, you were doing it before it was a thing.
That's right. So it was tough.
And what?
Every time I'd go out of town, I'd have a problem with trying to figure out where I'm going to go eat. Because when you tell a person, you're what? You know, when they bring you some carrots and some what do you call that? Iceberg lettuce. Man, I don't eat that.
Stuff they use to decorate.
I'm going to feed this to the rabbit, man.
That's too funny.
Come on now.
Now it's getting better with vegan.
Oh, it's much better. It's much better. You still have to be careful, though.
Yeah.
Because I've come in contact with people that are eating all kinds of carbs. They say they're vegan, but you can be unhealthy.
Oh, very
vegan,
much so. Yeah.
An unhealthy vegan.
It's still very processed. Just because it's vegan doesn't mean
it's good. Yeah, doesn't mean it's good for you. That's right. Exactly.
No.
Prepare your own food.
That's such a huge
Your own food. Really get good at putting your food together.
Super important. Yeah. All these are important life lessons. So
I love cooking.
Yeah,
I love putting things together. I love showing off like that. I'm in my own world when I do that.
That's amazing.
Absolutely. Amazing. Just like when you're between the lines of basketball. That's why I had to stop playing it because I would always get hurt.
Mm.
Like this one guy that's on the Bulls. I forget his name. But anyway, he's always hurt. But he's like an energizing bunny. He's always there. And that's why I was pesky like that.
I love to hear it in the terms of business. You're doing it. That persistence always pays off.
Mm-hmm.
And just to see the journey that you're on, having you a part of this community, I think it's so important to have people like you who have done it, who are doing it.
Mm-hmm.
These are things that I think the community really is looking for, is that kind of leadership of you can do it and it it changes you to go through these types of experiences like you have with Vipassana, with the fasting, and just the mindset that you have. What's next for you? What are you excited about this year that we can support you in and cheer you on?
Yeah, I'm always looking for wonderful things to help people with, things that's off the beaten path, so to speak. One of the things I actually been thinking about for a long time, but I've finally gotten the actual piece for it, was actually speaking to people on a regular basis within my niche. I look at helping dentists, you know, owners and executives. That would be my focus, bringing people in like that and actually speaking to them and interviewing them and talking to them and helping them help others.
Super important. That's what a good network is all about, having that. So again, super excited to have you as part of this community and just to be your friend more than anything else. What I think
you're wonderful about. Likewise,
Well, thank you for being on the podcast, and can't wait for the next one.
Appreciate being here.